The topic for this week, Parshas Baalotzcha, is what I called on the sheet Moshe's exclusive ruach. And here I'm going to be dealing with something that bothered me, and I tried to come up with an idea for it. I'm not sure that my idea is correct, but I like it, so that's got to count for something. And it has to do with an event that takes place in our parsha, which is not the only time that something like it happens in the Torah. Well, let me restate that, make it more clear. There are three times in the Chumash where Moshe appoints an assistant of some kind. Three times where someone has the position of shouldering some of, at least some of, the burden that Moshe currently holds. When's the first time? If you're looking at the source sheet, you already know. But when's the first time? Miriam, you're on mute.
I said it's Sefer Shemot.
Sefer Shemot, this is true. Shemot 1825, I think. The in Parshas Yisro, or Parshat Yitro, as you may prefer, that's the first time that Moshe delegates some of his responsibility. It's when he appoints shoftim, when he appoints judges who will work with him, right? Remember, Yisro comes and sees Moshe, he's taking care of the nation's needs all day long, and it's too much, and so on. So we're told, Vayivchar Moshe anshei chayil mikol Yisrael, Moshe chose, I just pulled the current Jerusalem Bible translation out of laziness, so they tell you, anshei chayil is able men, could be. The able men out of all Israel, Vayiteno sam rashim al ha'am, he made them leaders on the nation, and we get the whole hierarchy he appointed. Moshe appoints them, presto, we've got shoftim. Moshe's first assistant rabbis. Then, you move into our parsha, Parshas Baalotzcha. And here, Moshe is in need of something else. Not shoftim, he needs something different. He says to Hashem, I can't take it anymore. These people, they want meat, they want bread, they want water, they want everything. I can't deal with it. He says, I can't carry this entire nation myself. It's too much. And he says, he says, Hashem, take my life. If this is what you're going to do to me, if this is what it means, then, Moshe says, he says, I'm done. I'm out. Go find somebody else. And Hashem says to Moshe, Esfali Shivim Ish, gather 70 men, and they will be your Zekanim. And they have Nevuah, they have prophecy at least at one point. And, we're familiar with the story, about how he selects them, especially as the Gemara amplifies it. He takes six members of each shevet of each tribe, and they have a lottery, and 70 out of the 72 become these zekanim, these elders who are going to assist Moshe. Take a look at source number 2, where Hashem tells Moshe how to choose them. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Esfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael, gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel. People you know are elders of the nation, people who are shotrim, officers. Take them to the tent of meeting, and they'll stand there with you, and I will descend, I will speak with you there, I'm going to take from the spirit that is on you, and I'm going to put it on them. They will carry the nation with you. You're not going to have to do it alone. Now you have assistance. That is Moshe's second assignment of assistant rabbis. And then the third one is really not an assistant, but rather his replacement. And that's Yehoshua. In source number 3, in Parshas Pinchas, Hashem says to Moshe, Ve'amar Hashem Moshe, Kach lachas Yehoshua ben Nun, Isha asher ruach bo, take Yehoshua ben Nun, a man who has ruach, spirit, in him, v'samachta as yadcha olav, lean your hands on him. Stand him up in front of Elazar the Kohen Gadol and in front of the nation. And instruct him in front of them. Put from your glory on him. So that all the Jews will hear. That is the third time Moshe appoints somebody to lead. But here is where I want to go with this. When Moshe appoints the Shoftim, that first round, in Parshas Yisro, are we told anything about any impact on Moshe, his ruach, his connection with Hashem? Does that appear at all? No. There's nothing going on there. Not a thing. Look at the second one, in our Parsha. What would you say there? Is there any impact on Moshe's ruach, his relationship with Hashem? So on a practical level, there's certainly an impact. They're going to carry the burden along with him. But what about in terms of... Yeah. What does that mean?
I will take from the ruach that is on you and put it on them.
I'm going to take from the ruach that is on you and I'm going to give it to them. So imagine this. Before this moment, Moshe is way up here in terms of his connection with Hashem, right? And the rest of the nation is somewhere, I don't know, down. You can't even see it. It's below the screen. You can't see it on the Zoom. I'll pick it up here, but it's not even up there. It's like down there. So Moshe's up here. Everybody else is way down. What happens during this moment now to change that? What now occurs? Where is Moshe after this story? What does it sound like? So, it sounds to me like what Miriam said, right? Something has been taken away from Moshe. Moshe is no longer Moshe. He's now Moshe minus one. Or minus whatever it was that Hashem took from his ruach and gave to the Zekanim. Right? You see why I say that? He says, I'm going to take from the ruach that is on you and put it on them. The message is Moshe loses something here. I think that's interesting. Why should Moshe need to lose something in order for them to have a connection with Hashem? Why can't everybody just have connections to God? Like why does it have to be something taken away from Moshe? So that's odd. And that's something I wanted to talk about. But before we do that, go back to what happens when Yoshua is appointed. Does that involve Moshe losing something?
Some of his honor.
Some of his honor, some of his hod. Splendor, glory, however you want to translate hod. Moshe is supposed to take that. And give it to Yoshua. Hashem is not taking it away from him. Moshe is supposed to give it to Yoshua. So what is this business with taking things from Moshe and giving it to others? I understand why it doesn't happen with the Shoftim. Because the Shoftim aren't really people who are taking on a role in terms of a relationship with Hashem. Right, the role that the Shoftim are taking on is a practical role. You're going to judge the nation's cases. But the Zekanim evidently are taking something from Moshe's relationship with Hashem for themselves. And Yehoshua is taking something also for himself. What exactly is this? So there are two midrashim I'd like to look at. One from our parsha on the Zekanim, one from Yehoshua. These midrashim will clarify things and will sharpen the questions that I think we need to ask here. So first of all, the one that's on our parsha. Take a look, please, at source number 4. L'maha dabar doma. To what may we compare what happens to Moshe here? L'melech shahayalo pardes. V'sachar l'socho shomer. V'nasamo schara shmira. A king had an orchard. He hired a guard. And he said, here, I'm paying you. Go guard my orchard. Acharzman. After a while, the guard said, "Ini achol shomro kula levad. I can't do this job myself. It's too big a job. Can't do it levadi. Ela haveyod achirim shishmuri me. Bring others, and they'll guard it with me." So Amar lo Amelach, King says, "Nasati b'chas apardes kula l'shomro. I gave you the entire orchard to guard. V'chol perosh murasan l'chanasati, and I gave you responsibility for all the fruit." Now you're telling me I should go get others? Fine, I'll get others to guard with you. But you should know, I'm not paying them. You want to know how they're getting paid? They're getting paid out of your salary. Right? They're subcontractors. Don't come back to me and say, well, the budget's higher than expected because I had to bring in new people. I gave you an amount. Presumably that's the ruach here. And you're going to have to divide it up among all the people who are going to do the job. So, Moshe, you were hired to lead the people. You can't do it? Okay, fine. Go get others and they'll help you. But you're paying them. That's the idea. Kach amar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, so said Hashem to Moshe. Kshamarta lo uchal anochi levadi laseis, you said I can't carry everybody myself. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, ani nasati b'chol ruach v'das l'farneses banai. I gave you the ruach. I gave you the means. It's not really about a salary as much as I gave you the means to take care of my kids. V'lo yisim v'akesh acher, I didn't ask anybody else, k'desha tizyachid ata v'osa gedulas, that you would have all of the grandeur yourself. V'atam v'akesh acher, you want somebody else? Teda shemishali ena nolin klum. They're not getting anything from me. Ela v'atzal timen aruach asher alecha, I'm going to take from what you're getting and give it to them. However, the Medrash concludes that it didn't actually work out that way. The Medrash picks up on an interesting quirk in a pasuk at the end of the Chumash. Dvarim Lamed Daled is Vedos HaBracha, where we're told that that Yehoshua was Malei Ruach Chochmah. He was full of Ruach Chochmah. It says, as the Medrash concludes, V'ava Pichein, despite this speech that Hashem gave Moshe, Moshe lo chasar klum, Moshe wasn't missing anything. Shel sofar boim shana, after 40 years, Omar lo, he said to him, Kach lachas Yehoshua ben Nun v'nasatam yodcha alav, Hashem said to him, okay, now is the time, give Yehoshua from your glory, and Maksiv, what does the pasuk say? Yehoshua ben Nun, malei ruach chokhmah, ki samach Moshe, yadav alav, Yehoshua was full. How could it be full if Moshe gave away some of what he had to the Zakenim? The answer is that Moshe never gave anything away. The Zakenim actually got it. We are equating here Ruach and Hod, apparently, and we're saying that Yehoshua being full is equal to Moshe having been full. That's what this Medrash is doing. So the Medrash is trying to really do a couple of things here. It's trying to explain why Hashem would remove anything from Moshe. It said V'atzalti in our Parsha. And explaining how Yehoshua could end up being full. Okay. Right now, based on this read, it sounds like there was never a requirement to remove it from Moshe. It's not as though Hashem had to remove it from Moshe. Because if Hashem had to remove it from Moshe, then how could he change his mind? And say, don't worry, you won't lose anything. You follow? I feel like I'm being a little too abstract here. Let's be really clear. In our psukim it says, Moshe loses something. That's what it says in the psukim. The Medrash says that Moshe is going to lose something, because Hashem says, look, I didn't want to have intermediaries. You want intermediaries, you're going to have to pay them. You're going to have to lose something. And then Hashem changes his mind and says, no, you don't. It's okay, I was just kidding. I'm going to take care of paying them myself. So,
where did it say that Moshe lost something?
So, in the pasuk in source number 2, right, from Baal Oschan. He says, "V'dibarti v'chasham da'at salti min haruach asher alecha v'samti aleihem." I'm going to take from... Sorry?
That's in our parsha, that one?
Yeah. So I'm going to take from the ruach that's on you and put it on them. It sounds like Hashem is taking something away from Moshe. But the odd thing is that he has a choice. Hashem has a choice. Because if it really had to be taken away, then Hashem couldn't have changed his mind.
Could it be like Baalos Mazaneros, that like when you light a candle, you're not really seeing you from your own flames?
So that's what I would have expected to see. And in fact, that's the metaphor we're going to see in source number 5 in a moment, is the candle metaphor. That's what I would have expected to see. And in fact, it sounds like that's what happened in the end. But what I'm missing here, the piece that I don't grasp, is what happened. Why did Hashem think that it was appropriate to take something from Moshe if it didn't have to be done? Where is that? Where, you know, it sounds to me, just out of our medrash, it sounds like it was a punishment. It sounds like, Moshe, you've been bad. By saying you need somebody else, you deserve to lose something. And then, in the end, Hashem says, yeah, but I'm not going to do it to you. Right? We've all been there. Right? As parents. I'm really upset. I'm going to do X. All right, take away Y, or whatever it is, and then you decide, you know what, I'm not going to. That's what it sounds like here. Hashem's statement to Moshe is, I'm taking something away, and then he decides I'm not taking something away. Right? That's what it sounds like. Moshe sounds like, Hashem sounds like the parent who has said, I'm going to punish, and then decided, yeah, I'm not going to punish. That's what it, that's what this sounds like. So I want to know, is that really what's going on? But that's what seems to be going on here. Okay, let's look at the second medrash, source number 5. This is commenting on this, what we saw in number 3 about appointing Yehoshua. This medrash is picking up on a nuance in source number 3, in which we were told, Hashem said to Moshe, V'samachta yadcha alav. Number 1, lean your hands on Moshe. And number 2, V'nasata me'an Yehoshua, I should say. Number 2, V'nasata me'odcha alav. Put from your glory on him. So the medrash says these are two different things. Leaning your hands on Yehoshua is different from putting your glory on him. Look at number 5. V'samachta asyadcha alav, you shall lean your hands on him, kimadlik ner mi ner, like Dina said. Like lighting a lamp from a lamp. Nothing is lost from the first lamp. V'nasata mehodcha, give of your glory, that's kima'are mi kli l'kli. That's like pouring from one vessel into another. So at one point it's light him from you, and you don't lose anything. But then it's, you do lose something. And then the Medrash continues to say, but you know, you have a pasuk that talks about Yerusha, where we're told in the inheritances that no portion shall go from one tribe to another. Don't worry, Yehoshua is going to stand in front of Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, and so there's still honor for Shevet Levi. I'm not going into that. I'm sticking with this first part. When Moshe appoints Yehoshua, he has to give something to him and lose it himself. You lose a leadership position. There's something else that you're going to have to give to Yehoshua. So these midrashim, what these midrashim are doing fundamentally is just resolving psukim. Why is it that it says Hashem is taking from you, but Yehoshua is full, and all of that? But what we seem to be saying here is that in our parsha, Hashem is not happy with Moshe. He says, I'm taking something away from you because you didn't want to lead. And then he changes his mind and says, no, I'm going to give it, I'll leave it with you. Until it comes time to appoint Yehoshua, and at that point Hashem takes it away from Moshe for good. But I have two questions. And with these questions, I hope to sharpen exactly what it is that we're addressing here. Number one, what was wrong with Moshe asking for help in Baal Oschan? I mean, If you can't do the job, you ask for help. The nation has been pushing Moshe to the limit over and over and over again. Like, what do you want from him? Just break? Like, I find it hard to think that Moshe was capable but bowed out anyway. That he could have taken it but chose not to. That's not consistent with the way we view Moshe. If Moshe said, "I need help," it's because he needs help. So why exactly is it that Hashem is going to do this to him? That's number one. Number two, if when it came to the Zekanim, Hashem was able to say, "You know what, I'm not going to take it away from you. Don't worry, I'll find Ruach for them. I'm going to go into my closet, I've got some Ruach back here, and just wait a second, and I can give the Ruach to the Zekanim. Don't worry, Moshe, you get to keep your Ruach." So why couldn't he do the same thing with Yehoshua? Right? Go into the closet, go get more Ruach, give the Ruach to Yehoshua, and leave Moshe his own Ruach. I don't follow what's going on here. I don't understand why Moshe has to lose any in Balosa. And if he doesn't have to lose any in Balosa, then why does he have to lose some with Yehoshua and Pinchas? Clear? That's the question. We good? Thumbs up, thumbs down? If people don't want to unmute? Okay, thumbs up. Okay, thank you. So I'm going to offer three approaches. I like each of them. I think each of them has something to recommend it. Obviously, the third one is going to be the one that I really, really like. But they all have things to recommend them. Yeah, Leva.
I'm just confused. Sorry, I thought with the Sekinim he did lose Ruach.
So the pasuk says that Hashem says, "I'm taking it away from you," like you're saying. That's what it sounded like. He did lose it. And then the Medrash in source number 4 says that he's supposed to lose it, right? Like the guardian of the orchard. However, the end of the Medrash says, when you look at Yehoshua, it says that when Moshe gives Yehoshua Ruach, or Hod, or whatever it is he gives him, he is Malay Ruach Chochmah. He's full. And the Medrash assumes that if something had been taken from Moshe, he couldn't have filled up Yehoshua now. Must be that Moshe didn't lose anything. Hashem said, just kidding.
You bet.
Our Medrash is trying to resolve the difference between the two, and it ends up saying Hashem said he was going to take it away, but he didn't take it away.
Did Moshe actually ever say anywhere that I need help, or that's just the Medrash saying?
Oh, no. That's straight out of... First of all, when the Medrash says it, it means Moshe said it. No, it's straight out in the Pesukim. Moshe gives this very dramatic speech. Like, Baloscha is a heart-rending parsha if you're a Moshe fan. He cries to God. He says, "Lo'uchal anochil badila seisis kalam azek ketzumu mimeni v'im kachad oseli hargeni na harog." Right? I mean, he says, "I can't bear to see what's happening to me." He's like being torn down. It's a horrid experience for Moshe. Balosa is not like, if you're Moshe, you'd like to skip, I think, Balosa, Shlach, Korach, Chukas, I guess basically the rest of the Chumash, fine. Because it's all bad news, right? In Balosa, he gives up, and then Miriam and Aaron have their story about Moshe, and then in Shlach, you get the Meraglim, and we have to do this for another 40 years, and then Korach, you have a rebellion, and then Chukas, he hits the rock. Like, you know, this Sefer Bamidbar isn't Moshe's Sefer. I think that's just the way you have to look at it. But Balosa is hard. It's very difficult to follow what's going on here. This is not simple and straightforward. I don't understand why he needs to lose something. I don't understand why, if he really needs to lose something, Hashem then says, just kidding, you don't need to lose it. I don't understand if this was a punishment, such that Hashem could decide yes or no, what is he being punished for? You need help. Donnie.
So I was just here, does only Moshe know that Hashem is possibly going to take something away from him? Is this only a private conversation, or does anyone else know that this Canaan or Yeshua or right. Israel are only...
It seems like it's only Hashem speaking to Moshe.
Okay.
That's what it seems like. Because the Zekanim haven't even been picked at this point. This is when the whole idea is being set up. It's just a conversation between Hashem and Moshe. So, the first read... Sorry? The first read is that this is a punishment. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So why does it have to be... When it says min haruach, why does it have to be the ruach from Moshe?
Because it says min haruach asher alecha. Hashem is speaking to Moshe. He says, I'm going to take from the ruach that's on you and put it on them. Yeah. Nope, don't sorry. I've been spending weeks asking people to interact. Like, this is good. I'm happy.
Is the problem more of how he gave up and said he wanted to, like, die if he can't get help? He, like, completely put his hands up and he didn't... I think it's okay to ask for help, but he wasn't just doing that.
Mm-hmm. So...
He was giving up. Completely.
Right. So, it could be. I would have liked to have seen some hint of it in the Psukim, like Hashem specifically correcting him on that point. But it's possible. You can make the argument for sure. You can make the argument that it's the way he does it. The first approach is that this is a punishment. This is Moshe getting zapped. And that's a simple read of the Medrash, right? Hashem rejects Moshe's good intentions. Hashem says, I'm going to remove this ruach from you. And then he backs down without any explanation in the Medrash about why. In Parashas Pinchas, when it comes to appointing Yehoshua, Moshe has lost the right to lead. Right? Hitting the rock, getting angry with the people, whatever it was that was wrong in Parshas Chukas. And so Hashem says, okay, now I'm removing it from you. It's part of distancing himself from Moshe. The Chizkuni says this. If you flip the page to look at source number 6, the Chizkuni says, V'chi lo haya lo l'kadosh baruch hu ruach acheres l'shivim zekenim lo l'kacha mimoshe? Exactly my question. Hashem doesn't have more ruach to give to them. There's a finite supply of ruach. I'm running out of ruach, Moshe. Sorry, I got to take some of yours in order to give it to them. El kacha mo l'kadosh baruch hu. No, Hashem said this to Moshe. Ani omer l'cha atadadu nesami nasati l'cha chochma l'dunam besruchi nasati alecha. Just like we said from the Medrash. I told you to judge my nation. I told you you're in charge. I gave you my ruach. V'ata marta l'cha levadi. You say, I can't do it myself. Chayecha yinase lehem eruchacha. By your life, I'm giving them yours. It's a punishment. You can find a similar idea later on in Tanakh, in the story of Shaul and David and the transition between them. After Shaul has lost the monarchy, right, because of his two errors, so Shmuel is then told to anoint David. Look at the transition in source number 7. Vayikach Shmuel es keren Hashemen. Shmuel takes his horn of oil. Vayimshach oso bekerav echad. He anoints David among his brothers. Vatitzlach ruach Hashem el David mehayom ahuv amala. And from that point, Hashem's spirit, the ruach, is upon David. Vayakam Shmuel vayelech haramasa. And Shmuel goes home. Vruach Hashem sara meim Shaul. And the ruach of Hashem left Shaul, went to David. Instead, he's frightened by Ruach Ra. There's a lot more to say about this. I've actually been teaching this in my Thursday afternoon shiur at Alina's. But to the, not at Alina's anymore, on Zoom, but formerly at Alina's anyway. The key in this, as Abarbanel reads this story, is that there is a statement of, I'm taking the Ruach away from Shaul in order to give it to David. And from the read of Chizkuni, it's not that God has to do that. Hashem doesn't have to do that. He could just bring more Ruach, but it's not the way he's going to do it. This is a decision. Here's what I'm doing. In Moshe's case, as a punishment to Moshe. In Shaul's case, presumably, it's a punishment to Shaul. But we're left with a...
How come in Israel we're not saying why didn't he only... Why are we not right. Keeping the
Right, so I think the difference in Yisro is that Shoftim and Zakenim are two different positions. Shoftim are judges. They're mechanics. Meaning, obviously they're great and we're told wonderful things about them. But their job doesn't entail prophecy. Their job entails applying the laws. Two people have a fight, they come to us, we look up the law, we ask Moshe if we don't know, and we give them an answer. There's no connection with Hashem necessary for a shofet. A Zakein, on the other hand, or Yehoshua, has to have a connection to Hashem as part of carrying out their job. That's the distinction I would see here. Okay. So, that's our first approach. It's a punishment approach. The problem that I have is that I still don't understand. So does that mean Moshe was wrong? Maybe, as Chana suggested, maybe Moshe was wrong for the way he went about it, for the demand that he made. I don't know. But that's one approach, is that it's a punishment. Second approach is that it's an issue of chain of command. There's a chain of command based on one's connection to Hashem, and you only get one person in charge. You can't play a game of, we're going to share the responsibility. That doesn't work. If you take a look at source number 8, I love this line in source number 8. There are two times in which instructions are given to Yehoshua about bringing the Jews into the land. At one point it says, Ki ata tavo es ha'am hazeh, you are going to come into the land with this nation. And at one point it says, Ki ata tavi et ha'am hazeh, you are going to bring this nation. So why is it that once it says, Ki ata tavo, you're going to come in with them, and the other time it says, Ki ata tavi, you're going to bring them? Rabbi Yochanan says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan in source number 8, Omar lo Moshe li Yoshua, atav azakenim shebedori ma'am. Moshe says to Yehoshua, you go in along with the elders. Do it together. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says, no. Tol makel, v'hachal kod kodam. Take a stick and hit them on the head. Dabar echel lador ve'ein shnei dabarin lador. There's one leader for the generation. You can't have two leaders for the generation. Moshe says, teamwork. Do it with everybody else. And Hashem says, no, there's a chain of command, you're in charge. You're going to absorb the hit if you make a mistake, but you're the one in charge. That's the idea. There's a chain of command, there's a level of responsibility.
And you see that from Tavo and Tavi?
Yeah, because Ki ata Tavo et ha'am hazeh means you're going to come in with them. Ki ata Tavi et ha'am hazeh means you're going to bring them. Yeah. I also brought you the Gemara in source number 9. I'm not going to go into the context now. But the Gemara there is talking about the problem that Shmuel has to die before Shaul dies. Shmuel doesn't want to see Shaul pass away. And the problem is that Shaul has to die in order to make room for David. And so the Gemara says that ein malchus nogas v'chaverta afilu kum lo nima. You can't have monarchy overlap. There's a new king, it means you get rid of the old king. I mean, we had trouble with that, because Shaul thought he was still melech. That didn't work out so well. But the core idea is, there's a chain of command, and you cannot have confusion, and you cannot have overlap. Applying that idea here, Moshe's not being punished. That's not the problem. But in Balosa, Moshe is trying to share the clear-cut chain of command. That part we understood. We saw the sources, one leader for a generation, not two leaders for a generation. That part is straightforward. However, the problem is, if Hashem is going to introduce new ruach to give to the Zakenim, Hashem's going to open up the closet and take out, here's more ruach for them, that's going to introduce multiple channels of authority over the nation. It's not going to be Hashem tells Moshe and Moshe's in charge, because they have their own channel. Right? They're going to get their own instructions. It's going to create confusion. I don't understand. Who's in charge? Hashem is speaking to Moshe and giving him things. Hashem is speaking to the Zakenim and giving them things. That's not acceptable. So what Hashem is going to do is he's going to have it all run through Moshe. Meaning, Hashem is going to speak to Moshe, and Moshe's ruach is going to communicate to the Zakenim. The Zakenim have to get from Moshe in order that the communication will go God, Moshe, Zakenim. You follow? I hope that's a little more clear than what I was saying. The way I was saying it before was not right. This is what the idea is. It's not that Hashem has to take from Moshe to give to them. Hashem doesn't have to take from Moshe to give to them. What Hashem does need to do is establish that the chain of command is going through Moshe. And the way that will work is if they are getting Moshe's ruach. They are getting the ruach that is from Moshe, and therefore all of their nevuah, as Ramban says, all of their prophecy is coming through Moshe. They don't experience prophecy on their own. Hashem conveys a message to Moshe. Moshe conveys that message to the Zakenim through that shared ruach. You follow? Is that more clear? Okay. Dina, I can't see who else is with you there, but ask her if it's clear. Okay. That's the idea. In other words, very different from the first approach. In the first approach, Moshe is being punished. You shouldn't have picked them. You shouldn't have asked for the Zakenim. Now I'm going to take it away from you. All right, I'm going to give it back to you. Here, Hashem is saying, it's not a punishment, but I need to preserve you as my main person in charge. They're going to be subsidiaries of you. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, one of the authors of the Tosfos in source number 11, also takes this idea. Kedei sheyu tefelin lach. They will be subsidiary to you. The problem that I have with this, and here I go back to what I was trying to say before, is that number one, then why is there criticism in the Medrash? It's not about a criticism. This isn't a punishment. It's simply, okay, fine, we want to have another hierarchy, fine, but Moshe, you have to be in the chain. I have to take from you to give to them. I don't understand the criticism in the Medrash. And I don't understand why then Hashem said, okay, Moshe, actually, you can keep it. Right? In the end, Hashem doesn't take it away from Moshe in this Medrash. I don't follow where things ended up. It doesn't seem to fit. I'm missing steps if this is so. It's an interesting idea, but I don't follow what's going on. Obviously, this won't work for the Shaul David dynamic at all. So I don't really follow how Ramban's idea fits with this Medrash. It's a good idea in its own right. In other words, maybe Ramban is not addressing this Medrash at all. Maybe Ramban is ignoring this Medrash. Maybe Ramban is just explaining, I have a pasuk that says Hashem has to take from Moshe to give to them, and he's saying, why? So that the chain of Nebuah will go through Moshe. Right? You could be saying that, and Ramban is ignoring these Midrashim. That's possible. Okay. But I'm going to give you a third idea. And like I said, as always, the third idea is my favorite. And I think it's an extremely important and powerful idea. I think this is a very important idea. The removal that's going on here is because Hashem wants to keep his closest relationships exclusive. It is Hashem's policy that the highest relationship with Hashem is an exclusive one. I think that's really, that's an important concept, that Hashem wants relationships that way. We see it with Klal Yisrael, with the way Hashem structures the relationship with the nation that will accept the Torah. If you flip the page to source number 12, Psukim from Dvarim Chavav, as Hashem ha'amarta hayom, you chose Hashem today, Leos l'chol Elokim, to be your God, v'lalaches bidrachav, and to walk in His ways, v'lishmor chukav mitzvosav u'mishpatav l'shma b'kalo, to guard His mitzvot, to listen to His voice, v'Hashem hem mircha hayom, and Hashem selected you, Leos lo la'am segula, to be a special nation for Him. The idea of leha'amir as Hashem he'amart, Hashem he'emircha, is more than just selection. It's an expression of love. It's an expression of intimacy. This l'ha'amir. The statement is Hashem has the literal translation of he'amarta is Hashem has spoken for you, and you have spoken for Hashem. You have created a relationship that is unique and exclusive. Mind you, others can join; they just have to accept the Torah. But this is a unique and special relationship. So much so, the Gemara in Brachos Dav Vav, in source number 13, I brought it, envisions that Hashem wears tefillin. The tefillin that we wear have four parshios in them, four sections in them, two from the end of Parshas Bo, and then two, Shema Ve'ahavta and V'hayayim Shamoa. So the Gemara asks, our parshios ha-tefillin speak about Hashem, recognizing that Hashem is one, pledging our love for Hashem, commitment to His mitzvos. So what exactly is found in Hashem's tefillin? And the answer, Umikam Chayisrael Goyachad Baretz. Hashem wears tefillin in which it says how wonderful Bnei Yisrael are. That's the relationship. We speak of the beauty of Hashem, and Hashem speaks of our beauty. The Gemara in Brachos, in source number 14, talks about three requests Moshe made of Hashem. When Moshe said, V'niflinu ani v'amcha, mikol ha'am asher al pnei adama, we should be set apart from all the nations, Moshe requested, as the Gemara in Brachos says, you see it here in source number 14, that not only should Hashem be manifest on us, but that Hashem should only be manifest on us. Moshe requests that Hashem should only be with us, exclusively. Further, the contents of our relationship with Hashem are exclusive. They're not for public consumption. Right? I brought you the classic pasuk in source number 15 from Micha, Ve'atznei alech asim elokecha. You walk privately with Hashem. In number 16, I brought you from when Moshe comes down the mountain and he has to hide his face. His face is radiant from talking to Hashem. Moshe's communing with Hashem is not for anybody else to see. The relationship with Moshe is also unique, is also exclusive. Hashem's relationship with Klal Yisrael is different from his relationship with the rest of the world. And Hashem's relationship with Klal Yisrael is different from his relationship with the rest of the world, and Hashem's relationship with Moshe is different from his relationship with any other Jew. The highest relationship is an exclusive one. When a relationship is exclusive, and obviously this has marriage elements to it, when a relationship is exclusive, it's not only qualitatively different from other it's not only quantitatively different from other relationships, it's qualitatively different from other relationships. If I were to borrow a word from Rav Soloveitchik, it's ontologically different. It's an entirely different entity. Meaning, if you have connections to a whole bunch of people, you share yourself with multiple people, then none of them are going to be the recipients of all of your creative thoughts, of all of your funny jokes, or unfunny jokes, of all of your emotional reactions to whatever's going on in the world, right? If you have relationships with many people, you are diluted as you're divided among them. And the same is true for what you receive from them. What you receive from them will only be part of their experience. When you have an exclusive relationship, you create a universe of just two inhabitants who focus on each other, and they're just telling each other. What does this remind you of from Chumash? What story should this remind us of? There's one environment in which this happens in the Chumash. It's Gan Eden. Right? That's what Gan Eden was. In Gan Eden, it's just Adam and Chava. That's all there is. Didn't last very long. But the idea is they're just there themselves. It's what we invoke when people get married as Shava Brachos under the chuppah. We invoke that exclusive image of Gan Eden. That's what Hashem is looking for. It's what Hashem is looking for from the nation who accepts the Torah, that their relationship will be different from everybody else's. And it's different from, and it's the relationship that Hashem wants with Moshe. It's what Hashem is looking for in his relationship with Moshe, away from everybody else. Now, the truth is, exclusivity has its limits. Because even as we have a personal relationship with Hashem, we're supposed to daven b'tzibur, to go back to the discussion that we had before the shiur started. We're supposed to be davening with other people. There's a concept of Kiddush Hashem, of having a public sanctification of Hashem's name, not just a private one, of having a Seder, of teaching your children, having your children observe your relationship with Hashem. So it's not absolute. It's not fully and truly exclusive. It has to be examined, it has to be calibrated. But taking this idea back to what we're talking about in Baal Oscha, maybe the problem in Baal Oscha is not abdication. Moshe, you're abdicating, and therefore I'm going to punish you by taking it away. And it's not confusion of the chain of command of, I need to use your ruach to create them so that they will be subsidiary to you. But rather, Hashem wants to be in an exclusive relationship with Moshe. Hashem wants the relationship with Moshe to be special and unique and set apart. The Shoftim weren't a threat to that relationship because the Shoftim weren't installed as top leaders. They're working under Moshe, that's fine. And there's no avera, there's no transgression in inviting in the Zakenim, in inviting in the elders. But once you invite in Zakenim, who will also have prophecy, your relationship is degraded from the exclusive level. A close relationship has to be an exclusive relationship. If it's not exclusive, you can't be close anymore. Moshe is being removed from where he had been. He has to be dropped. You follow? He can't be at that high level. Because at that high level, it's got to be exclusive. You bring other people in, it deteriorates. However, Hashem allows it in the end, without dropping Moshe's level. I don't know if that's because this was just a necessity for Moshe, and therefore Hashem says fine, or if it's because Moshe is doing it for the sake of Klal Yisrael, maybe that's why, I don't know. But Hashem ultimately backs down. And he says, okay, Moshe, I'll let you do it. You'll be at that top level that you were at, even though it's not entirely exclusive, until you get to Parshas Pinchas. And in Parshas Pinchas, it's time to induct Yehoshua into the relationship at that level. Yehoshua has to be the top one. And at that point, Moshe has to transition out to a new type of a relationship with Hashem. And Yehoshua is going to get the Hod, and Yehoshua is going to get the Ruach that finalizes the transition. And the same thing goes on with the David Shaul piece of it. Shaul was the Melech. He had that exclusive relationship with Hashem. Now it's going to be David. You can't have overlap. Shaul has to lose the Ruach in order for David to gain it. So to sum up what we've said, number one, the three times Moshe appoints assistants, the Shoftim, the Zakenim, and then finally his replacement, Yehoshua. Chizkuni, how do Chizkuni and Ramban explain the reason to remove greatness from Moshe? It shouldn't say judges, it should say elders. Sorry, my mistake on the sheet. For it to go to the Zakenim. So the Chizkuni's position is that it's punishment. Ramban's position is that it's command structure clarity, to make sure that they are going to draw from Moshe. And why else might Hashem have wanted to reduce Moshe's level when Moshe introduced the Zakenim, the elders? Because I think the highest level is exclusive, as it is for Klal Yisrael. You want to be close to Hashem, it's got to be just you and Hashem. And I think all three of these approaches have important messages. The first one, the idea of punishment for Moshe, teaches the importance of taking responsibility and not assigning it to other people. Even if Moshe feels like he can't do it, he should recognize you're outsourcing a job that was given to you. The second idea, the command, chain of command, I think it's important also to learn the message of a clear chain of command. Even if you don't want to be the one in charge, you may have to be the one in charge. Because someone's got to be. And then third, the last idea, I think the importance of an exclusive personal relationship with Hashem, the idea that that there are certain things, certain experiences, that are really between you and God. And even though you have, you know, a wealth of relationships, whether with parents, whether with siblings, whether with spouses, whether with children, that there's an aspect of a person's relationship with Hashem which is just personal and private. It's not something that's to be shared with others. And I think that's a very powerful and important idea that we can think about. Clear? Hopefully? As I said in the beginning, I don't know if it's right. But I like it. I think that there's oh, there she is. I think there's substance to the idea. So thank you very much. Note, I said in the email that I won't be able to give a shiur next week because I'm giving a shiur as part of our Beit Midrash Shavuot Tone instead. I will be speaking.